We're back. It's Here and Now. And House Speaker John Boehner says he's moving on to Plan B in fiscal cliff talks. After meeting with his caucus this morning, Boehner said what's been speculated, he's preparing a backup bill that would let Bush-era tax rates expire on household incomes over $1 million.
We all know that every income tax filer in America is going to pay higher rates come January the 1st unless Congress acts. So I believe it's important that we protect as many American taxpayers as we can.
President Obama also gave some ground, agreeing to let tax increases kick in on income over $400,000 instead of the $250,000 he's been demanding. But Boehner says the president's plan is not balanced because it calls for $1.3 trillion in tax increases, but just $850 billion in spending cuts. Rick Klein is senior Washington editor for ABC World News. He joins us from Capitol Hill. And Rick, I just threw out a lot of numbers, but before we go over them, there had always been speculation, hadn't there, that number of $250,000 income over which would be taxed under President Obama's plan? Hadn't there always been speculation that both sides were going to play with that number?
Yes, that was the only room for compromise. You had one side saying everyone's taxes have to remain low. You had the president saying, I'm going to protect people making up to $250,000. So this is the obvious area of compromise. And if they come to a final compromise, you'd expect it to be somewhere between the $400,000 that's now the White House offer and the $1 million plus that is now part of Speaker Boehner's backup plan.
But how are House Republicans reacting to that? Because that is a tax increase. I mean, even if it's over $500,000 income or over $1 million a year, it's a tax increase.
Decidedly mixed. There were a number of them who were so angry that they didn't even stop to talk to reporters on the way out. We heard from a number of members who said things like, I didn't come here to raise taxes on anybody, and I will not be voting for this. You also, though, had a pretty large sentiment of folks saying, listen, we know everyone's taxes are going to go up if we don't do anything. Speaker Boehner needs us to have his back right now, so I'll hold my nose and know that I'm going to deliver tax cuts for more than 99% of the country.
Yeah. Well, we know this is all going on, you know, almost as we speak today. Can you pick up something different, you know, some whiff in the air that this is, you know, people really mean it, that John Boehner, despite those protests from his party, means it?
Yes, I think there's been more movement in the last couple of days. I think there's been the debate has been more sober in the wake of the tragedy in Connecticut on Friday. I feel like there's just more grown-up language and discussion around this. And I also feel like the fact that they are still discussing things on a regular basis, you just have a lot more optimism about them actually reaching a deal. A lot of obstacles remain, a lot of big issues, but they're arguing around math more than policy right now, and there's obvious gives when you try to figure out the numbers. But a lot of the big policy discussions, though, there's been give from both sides already. So I think you're seeing the framework of a compromise begin to emerge.
Well, I want to stay on that for a second, that thinking, because others also noted a change in tone yesterday, when this started floating again after this horrific weekend. And a reporter at the press conference today asked a question we've been wondering, whether the tragedy in Newtown somehow helped to advance the talks. For Republicans in particular, who are perhaps facing criticism over their, you know, line in the sand stand on guns, that, you know, maybe they couldn't have these two protracted battles at once.
There are a lot of Republicans that want this battle to go away. They thought that before Friday. They certainly think that after. They lost the election. They realized the president holds more cards than they do when it comes to the fiscal cliff. So I think you saw more of those sentiments coming out. Also, a lot of this has been play acting. It's been a kabuki dance from the day one of the cliff talk. So much of it has been predictable. And I do think there's just less appetite for some of that predictable brinksmanship, given the much more sober national events that we're talking about.
And didn't John Boehner seem to, you tell us, in a way, kind of say that?
Yes, I think so. I think no one wants to fool around with this anymore, and no one wants to ruin the holidays for everyone in Washington either. Yeah. I think both sides see incentive for themselves to say, listen, let's cut a deal, we'll come back in the new year, and the fight will be joined again. There will be many opportunities for this Congress and this president fight over fiscal issues, but to create these big tension moments and to create a fiscal cliff entirely by Congress's own making, it just is not something that that anyone has an incentive to go over.
Well, the holidays are already kind of changed in many profound ways. But the president also offered to allow the payroll tax holiday to expire. Now, this, to remind us, was passed under his administration, 2010, money that was taken out of the paychecks that normally goes to Social Security and putting a little of this extra money into the pockets of American workers, thought to help, especially during the worst of the recession. About $1,000 a year for people making $50,000. Now, to take this away would raise taxes on middle Americans, something he promised he wouldn't do, but it was always supposed to be a holiday.
That's right. You realize that if you take this money away forever, you're creating the Social Security problem that's even worse for yourself. So this was meant to be temporary. Temporary tax cuts in this town have a way of being baked into the cake and feeling like they're permanent. But you're exactly right. It is a pretty significant concession for the White House to say we're going to allow that payroll tax cut to expire. There are a lot of economists and liberal activists who point out that that is actually stimulative money, because the people that get that money are much more likely to spend it than, say, the millionaires who are arguing over a couple extra percentage points on their upper income.
Yeah, there's still debate over how to and if to and how long to if you do raise the debt ceiling. But just your sense of things, Rick, what is the sense here? Is there sort of a sense of an evenness in concessions on both sides?
I think there's a sense that the Democrats have more options because the way that fiscal cliff is structured, because the president just won the election, because the part of fiscal cliff is just going back to the tax rate they're in place under President Clinton. So I don't think this is going to be a 50-50 scenario. I do think Republicans are having to give on some of their core principles more than Democrats. That's what's making this hard to swallow. It'll be shocking to me if as many Republicans end up voting for this as Democrats.
Yeah. Rick Klein, ABC World News and co-host of the Top Line webcast, with the latest on the fiscal cliff negotiations. We understand Boehner's Plan B could be introduced as early as Thursday?
That's right. I think a lot of that is part of the negotiating. Now he's able to say to the White House, we passed something, now it's back on you.
Rick Klein, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And something tells me we'll be talking with him many more times before the holidays coming up. But you know what? We just want to give you a heads up that in the coming days, we are going to turn our attention to this time of year can be so warm and important to many. We're going to talk about making your own crafts if you are feeling like cuddling and doing that. And still ahead today, the best time to do things like, buy shoes, believe it or not, that's after the latest news, here and now.